This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. When we reflect upon the conditions of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever they supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was quick in responding to their needs. And when we look at the conditions that we are in, we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many times it seems that it always gets worse, it only gets worse. What has changed? What has changed is not in Islam. The Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the same as the Quran that we have now. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are preserved through the great scholars of Islam. So that which we hear and that which we hear recited by the Imam and the hadith that are being read to us are the same words that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of that has been changed. But when we look at the condition, our condition is so different nowadays. We see that people, different nations, are plundering the wealth of the Muslims. And the Muslims are in such a lowly state. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us about this love. He said, سَتَتَدَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأُمَمْ. He said, indeed the nations, كَمَا تَتَدَعَ الْأَكَلُ تَعَلَى قَسَتِهَا. Just like a group of hungry people fighting for a platter of food. And so the companions, when they heard, and this is what's happening, we have all the wealth under our feet. In fact, we could, at any moment right now, if there is just one announcement made by some of our leaders, we could stop these planes from flying, and the cars and the gas prices would skyrocket. How much power is in our hands and how much wealth is under our feet? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah. But why are we in such a state that everyone wants a piece of the pie? Is it because we're so small in numbers? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is it because we are so small in number on that day, O Messenger of Allah? Is it because of the small numbers? No, but أنتم يا ميتين كثير. No, you will be abundance, a lot. ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل. Well, but you're going to be like the foam on the side of the water that runs, the rainwater that runs in the valley, and that foam is on the side. You just blow it and it's gone. That's the condition of the Ummah nowadays. Over a billion! You might say over a billion strong and growing, but over a billion maybe weak and growing. Why are we in that state? I'm just going to give you, inshallah, one, because you know the khutbah, of course, is not the Allah. I'm going to give you just one reason. Remember I mentioned that the Qur'an and the Sunnah hasn't been changed. It is how we respond to the Qur'an and the Sunnah that has changed. Our response, when we look at the condition, our condition, the reason for that change is we are slow in responding to Allah and His Messenger. If we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen ourselves to give life to the Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ O ye who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. We have to change in the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger. Let's give a few examples from the time of the companions of how they responded to the call of Allah and His Messenger. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayahs, the verses of prohibition of intoxicants, of khamr, of alcohol and wine and the likes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the prohibition, He sent a caller into the streets of Medina, and the caller announced, أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ When this announcement was made in the streets of Medina, and the companions heard it, like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, I was in the house of Abu Talha, and some of us were pouring, others were drinking and lifting the cup to their mouths. But when we heard the announcement, everybody stopped what they were doing. Those who were about to drink, they stopped. Those who were pouring, they stopped. And not only did they stop drinking there and then, at that moment, they also went to the containers and started pouring the wine onto the streets of Medina until the wine was flowing in the streets of Medina. They smashed the containers. They didn't want to ever go back to it again. Now, you know, there are some of us who know there are certain things that are haram. Some people, they realize, you know what? It's not good to listen to music, with musical instruments and the likes. And then they say, Ya Allah, you know, forgive me, I'm going to stop. So then what do they do? They start putting the CDs away. Instead of smashing the CDs, they put it away. Maybe they'll return it someday later on. They know they bought this, it cost such and such amount of money. We don't make that conviction to leave things and to be in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're not quick. Because many of us, we always say, you know, I want to change, but maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe after I get married. Maybe after I graduate, after I make Hajj, after I retire and so forth. We're always procrastinating and saying tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow. Always. We're not quick in obedience, in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there was a prohibition, they were quick. They would not take one step further if they were told not to do so. Let me give you an example. Another example, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. He was walking to the masjid on a similar day, a Friday. While the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some people in the back, they were standing And so he told all of them in the back, he said, "Ijlisu, everybody sit down." Abdullah ibn Rawaha was still outside in the sun. He had not entered the masjid yet. And when he heard the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit down, he sat down where he was outside in the sun. He did not take another step further. Why? Because the natural instincts of the companions were, this is a voice. He heard that this is a voice that's familiar. This is a voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's ordering to sit down. Without even thinking, just instinctively, he heard that, sit down, and he sat down where he was. And so the companions who came later on, seeing him in that state, and they informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam afterwards, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached him and said, "May Allah increase you in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger." That's how they were, not one step further when they heard a command from Allah and His Messenger. And that's how they were, because they were quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger, Allah is also quick in responding to their calls and needs. And so whenever there was a drought, or whenever there was no rain, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would raise his hands, and before he would put his hands down, the rain was falling down with it already. And so we ourselves, we're wondering, sometimes we're in hardship, and we're wondering, why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to my supplication? It's because maybe we're not responding to Him in times of ease. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ta'arraf ila Allahi fi ar-rakha, ya'rifka fi shidda." Know Allah in times of ease, and Allah will know you in times of hardship. Know Allah in times of ease. Then when the hardships and the difficulties come, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you. The quicker we are in responding to Allah, Allah is quicker in responding to us. And so if you're wondering why isn't Allah responding to our calls and our needs, then check how you respond to Allah and His Messenger. When it's time to pray, do you delay? So check ourselves. And then when you look at the condition of the ummah, we have to stop blaming other people. Because we're always blaming other people, and we're always saying, you know, the times that we are living in is really bad. It's really bad times. نَعِبُ زَمَانِنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَلَيْسَ لِي زَمَانِنَا عَيْبُ سِوَانَا. We always blame the times that we are living in. There's nothing wrong with the times we are living in. The only thing that's wrong with the times that we are living in is us. That's what's wrong with the times that we are living in. It's us. And so we have to make that change. We have to make that conviction. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day hadith from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he held up silk and gold, and he said, "These two, inna hadaini haramun ala dhukuri ummati." These two things, gold and silk, are prohibited for the male of my ummah. And so one day, later he saw a gold ring on the hand of one of the companions. And he took the ring, he saw that ring and he took it. When the Prophet saw that, and he tossed it. He tossed the ring. And he said, "Why would one of you, يَعْمَدْ أَحْبَكُمْ مِنَ جَمْلَةٌ مِنْ نَعْ فَيَجْعَلَ فِي يَدِهِ." Why would one of you put an ember of fire on his hand? Why would he do such a thing like that? And the Prophet ﷺ tossed it. The companions who witnessed this incident, they saw that this Sahabi just left. He left his ring there. He didn't go and get it or anything. He just left it. And so they went to him. They said, "Why don't you get your ring? We're talking about gold ring here, precious metal. It's not like iron ring or anything like that. No, gold, precious metal, very very expensive." So he just leaves it there. The companions, they said, "Why don't you go get your ring?" And he said, "Wallahi, by Allah, la akhudhuhu abadan wa qad tarahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, I will never touch it again, as long as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already tossed it." That's how the companions were. Quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger, with the fullest of conviction. And we have to be like that. As believers, we have to accept what Allah and His Messenger have prohibited. And thus, if we don't do so, and this fact, in fact, this point is so important, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself. Allah swears by anything He wants. He's Allah. He swears by the sun and the moon and the stars and the day and the night. He swears by anything He wants. But when He swears by something, it's to signify the importance of that thing and also to emphasize a point. We are not allowed to swear by anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. We swear by Allah. We don't swear by anything else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can swear by anything He wants. And He swears by many things in the Qur'an, as I mentioned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He makes this point in Surah Al-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself. He swears by Himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, Allah swears by Himself, and nay by your Lord, O Muhammad. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they shall not have faith, they shall not believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, until they make you a judge in all the disputes between themselves. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا, and they find no resistance whatsoever in what you have decreed. And then, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they accept it with the fullest of conviction. So when they make that change, Allah swears by Himself, that's how important it is. So when they make that change, they make that change out of love. Because they know that Allah knows what's best for them. And we as Muslims, as believers, we know that Allah knows what's best for us because He knows us better than anyone else. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, does He not know who He has created? And is He all subtle, all aware? Does He not know? Allah is more merciful towards us than we are towards ourselves. So when He prohibits something, it's not good for us. And when He says something is good for us, then it is good for us. And that's why when something is prohibited, we abstain and we stay away from it. Because that's what's best for us in this life and the hereafter. But sometimes, for us, when we know something is halal or haram, we've already made a decision. You know, we think we know what's best for us. When we know that we shouldn't buy such and such a house based on riba, mortgage and so forth, every single time a shaykh comes, you ask, shaykh, is this my condition and so forth, is this haram or halal for me to do so? And then the shaykh says, haram. Let me try it again. Next shaykh comes, you ask the same question. Next shaykh comes, you ask the same question. By the time you get to the 10th shaykh, you'll get somebody. And then you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Our deen is not like going shopping. Some people go fatwa shopping. It's not, you cannot go to the supermarket finding, okay, this looks look good, this doesn't look good, and so forth. No. This is something that's serious. When you know the truth, then you follow the truth. Don't decide on a particular matter based on your desires and look for someone to justify your desires. And that's why we as Muslims, we have to change. Islam doesn't need to be changed or anything like that. Islam is perfect. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete for us until the day of judgment. We need to change. And the change starts with us. It starts with every individual person.
And it starts with how we respond to Allah and His Messenger. It starts with us following the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in the way they responded to Allah and His Messenger. I'm going to give you a couple of other examples. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was standing up in prayer. And in the middle of prayer, he took off his shoes. He put it to the left. And then when he finished prayer, he turned around and everyone in the masjid had taken off their shoes. Everybody in the masjid had taken off their shoes. So he said, "Mahamalukum alayhi qa'ni alaykum." He said, "Why did you guys take off your shoes?" And they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, we saw you doing it, so we did so." All of them, it wasn't just sami'na wa ta'ana. Whenever they saw the Prophet doing something, they tried to imitate it any way possible. And so he said, "The reason why I took off my shoes, because Jibreel came to me and told me there was adab. There was filth on my shoes, and that's why I took it off. You guys all don't need to take off your shoes. Not every one of you has najas or filth on your shoes. Jibreel came and told him, that's why he took off his shoes." But look at the condition of the companions. They wanted to imitate. They wanted to follow his example. In fact, when the Prophet ﷺ had a ring made for him, the people of Medina had rings made for them also. The companions tried to copy them. And you know, whatever the Prophet ﷺ liked, they wanted to like it also. Let me give you an example. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, the companion who had the honor of hosting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the masjid was built and before his rooms were built was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu had a house, a two-story house. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the bottom, the ground floor. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and his wife, they had the top floor. And so, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was easy for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have the ground floor, because he had a lot of visitors. A lot of visitors would come and visit him. And so, one night, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari pushed his wife over to the side, and he himself went to the side. And he said, "It's not appropriate for us to be above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what you call etiquette, respect." Was it haram to be above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the second floor? No, it's not. If it was haram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have told him so. But out of respect for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he came down the next morning and he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you know it's not appropriate." He didn't feel it was appropriate. It's not appropriate for me to be above you. Should be in the above. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "The bottom floor is better for me, it's easier for me." But out of respect for the host, because the host was an honorable host, and the guest was also a very honorable guest. Respected the feelings of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he moved up, he went on the top floor out of respect for his feelings also. So one day the Prophet ﷺ was given food. In that time he only had his wife Sauda with him. That's the only wife that was with him at that time. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu left them to eat. And he noticed that the Prophet ﷺ did not touch the food. So he came back and he to collect the plates and dishes and so forth. And he said, "A haram? Is this haram? Is this prohibited, this food?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "No, it's not prohibited. It's not prohibited, but I dislike it." And the reason why he disliked it, he didn't want to eat it. You know, the Prophet ﷺ never complained about food. He never complained about food. مَا عَبَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَعَامًا قَطْ إِذَا اشْتَهَاهُ أَكَلْ وَإِلَّا تَرَكْ. The Prophet ﷺ never complained about food. If he wanted to eat something, he would eat it. If he didn't, he would just leave it. So he left this. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was wondering why. But of course it had garlic. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was special in this matter that he did not want his mouth to have a foul smell coming from it. Because at any moment Jibreel would come down At any moment, Jibril can have a revelation. He never wanted at any time to have a foul smell coming out of his mouth. And so he didn't eat it. And so when Abu Ayyub al-Ansari asked him, "Haram, no?" He said, "No, walakin mani akrahu." He said, "But I dislike it." You know, he disliked it because of that. Because there's a specific reason for it. It's not haram. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, at that moment, he said, "Wallahi ya Rasulullah, inni la akrahu." He said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I dislike it also." La ilaha illallah. Do you know, what kind of food do you think it was? It was probably his favorite food. I mean, would you give anyone like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you had a guest like someone like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would you give him anything except your favorite? Anything except for the best? Something that you really love? It was probably his favorite food. But as soon as he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "But I dislike it," he said, "Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I dislike it also." At that moment. Do you see how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not even haram. You think that order to dislike it or anything like that. It was their love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it came to the orders and prohibitions of Islam, they were the same. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Immediately. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not after I graduate. Not after I finish my mortgage. Not after I take this vacation and that vacation. Not after I retire. No, no. Immediate response to Allah and His Messenger. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغدا واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. So I want all of us right now to reflect on the day of judgment. When we're standing in front of the Sirat, to the left and to the right is the Hellfire. On that bridge which is dark and thin and sharp, how do you cross it? Are you going to cross it because you have acrobatic abilities, because you work for the circus? No, it's not going to help you any. You're going to cross it because of your deeds. And you know, the speed that people cross it will also differ. Some people will cross it just like a flash of lightning. Some people will cross it just like a rider on a fast horse. Some people will cross it crawling. And others will get hooked. There will be hooks that come from the side and pull them in. How are you going to cross the Sirat? We cross the Sirat not because of our acrobatic skills, no. It is our deeds. It is how we respond to Allah and His Messenger in obedience to Him, in His worship, in our actions. And so when I want you to think about it, when it's time to pray, how are you? Are you looking forward to it? Are you fast? Are you here in the masjid? Or do you delay until the end of time? When you know Fajr is coming, are you prepared? Do you set the alarm? Do you wake up right away? Or do you hit that shaitan button, that snooze button? Or do you keep on delaying it? You can tell how fast you're going to cross, because it's according to our deeds and how we respond to Allah and His Messenger. And some of us will not be able to make it. Some people will not be able to make it because they don't respond to Allah and His Messenger. Because their deeds in this life, they're always procrastinating. And that's why we We have to change ourselves. During the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever there was a prohibition, they stayed away from it right away. They didn't say tomorrow or next week. Even the woman, a woman came with her daughter and she had thick bracelets on her wrists. And so the companions, the Prophet ﷺ saw that and he said, "Do you give the zakat of this gold?" And so she said, "No." Now I want you to imagine yourselves in our time, the imam sees someone with thick bracelets of gold and he asks him, "Do you give zakat of that?" What do you think the pious people would do? Like the pious woman in our time, what do you think they would do? The good, pious people in our time. They would probably say, "Imam, how much do I have to give of that? How much zakat do I have to give from these bracelets then? If I have to give zakat from it, how much?" So they would probably ask. Those are the good people amongst us. But I want you to listen in on how the woman of the during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that. He said, "Do you give the zakat of this?" And so she said, "No." He said, "Would you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn those bracelets into fire on the Day of Judgment?" And so the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that, she said, she takes the bracelets of gold. She said, "These two," and she had her daughter, she said, "These two are for Allah and His Messenger. These two are for Allah and His Messenger." Right away she just gave them up like that for Allah and His Messenger. When she heard about the hellfire, when she heard about the rulings, and she didn't even ask how much do I have to give, just all take them off for Allah and His Messenger. That's how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were. That's how quick they were in responding to Allah and His Messenger. And so, the Qur'an hasn't changed. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ has been preserved. The only thing that has changed is us. So if we want to revive ourselves, come back to the deen, to have this ummah come back strong, each individual here, we have to change ourselves and then change our families. And where do we start? Change in how we respond to Allah and His Messenger. Change that. And so we have to, from now on, before you get out of this masjid, make the conviction. Make this change. The next time you hear a prohibition, something that's prohibited, then you make the intention and conviction to change right away. To stay away from it right away. When you know there are some things you should do, then you do it right away. Don't procrastinate. Don't say tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, no. And if we make that change, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive ourselves, our family, in the ummah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa rasul. Idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقموا الصلاة